Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, good to see you. Today, we've got my lovely bride, Natalie, who looks frozen for some reason. Are you there, Natalie?
I'm here.
All right, there you go. The reason my bride is on is A, Cleaning Nation seems to love her ever so much.
And I love them.
And we people always want to hear, because a lot of Cleaning Nation work with their spouses. It says that she's frozen. I don't know what to do. Let's see. Natalie, why don't you just come sit by me and we'll just make it work, because this is clearly not working. All right, so today we're going to talk about working with your spouse or not being able to work with your spouse technologically. So we tried to have us in separate rooms, which has always worked before, but now we're just going to have her coming and sitting, and maybe we'll see if we can both fit our big heads into the deal. Anyway, here she comes from behind, the lovely Natalie. I'll make some room over here for her. Ooh, this is good. She'll have to sit really close to me. All right, so this will be even better. All right, guys, gals. So there you go. If you are working with your bride, crap doesn't always go right. I'm going to yell at her and beat her afterwards. That's okay with you?
Sure, try it.
She's been shooting a lot lately and much better with a gun than I am. So I might be able to hit her a couple times, but as soon as she got her hands on the gun, it's over. She's shooting me dead. So I will start giving her the respect she deserves. Out of fear for my life.
As you should.
As I should. No encouraging words like, baby, I would never shoot you. Just like, yeah, absolutely. You respect me.
Pretty much.
All right. I'm going to stop turning this way because that's not good for sound. And I'll just look at you over here, my love. All right. So the reason we're here today is a lot of people work with their spouses. Actually, if you're an owner and you're married, to a degree, you are partnered with your spouse. And to a degree, you're working together. You have to come up here. Let's see if Natalie get closer. I feel like she's way back at the end. See if we can kind of get there. You go.
Next to you.
Well, you don't have to sit next to me. I just feel like my head's huge and my voice is huge and your head is small and voice is small. So you'll have to yell and try and look bigger.
So it's my fault smaller. You have a giant head.
Yes, it is Natalie's fault. Look how nice and big my head and how tiny her head is. It's ridiculous. All right. So anyway, enough of that nonsense. We are 4 minutes in. We haven't got a blessed thing done. Let's get to work, shall we? So my bride and I have worked together, just quick background we've been married for 10 years. We dated for 4 years before that. When we were dating, she kind of was off and on a little bit in the business, like not super.
Mostly graphic stuff like that.
Yeah. She just do like little helper things. So she's a great graphic designer. Once we got married, because I'm a terrible human being, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get to work. Like before, I wasn't really, we just traveled all the time. My business was kind of running itself. Everything was great. But when we got married, I'm like, I got to build this business. And she like was super sweet and just kind of came right in to help me. So since then, it's been good and bad. I think for me, it's probably been more good than bad. I really enjoy having her around and helping and serving. She's laughing, so we'll see. I think that means for her it might have been more bad. So anyway, I was a bigger fan of working together. I think she was. And I think there's two reasons. One, I'm a pain in the butt and she's delightful, which may or may not apply to you in your situation. But the bigger one, or an equal one at least, was I'm the entrepreneur and I'm ready to talk about this business, think about this business, be into this business 24/7 all the time. And she's a sane human being that is not feeling that. So first of all, let me say, hey, we got Angela and Jessica's double dose, Adriana, Rohan's in the house. Good to have you, buddy. Amy, Kendra, Ashley, we got so many people. And the Jessica again, Mark White in the house. All right, so that's kind of my experience was, well, I'll give you mine and then I'll let Natalie go. I liked having my spouse in that she could work Saturday at 2 p.m. if I want to talk about business Tuesday night at 9 or over dinner. She could, sometimes would, probably not the best idea, but that was a possibility. Whereas as amazing as Lindsay or Jared is, if I try to call them, you know, and we do Slack sometimes at that point, but we try to keep it to a dull roar. So for me, it was really handy, but I ended up using her as a crutch. So as opposed to doing stuff right, I always had a handy Natalie that could do stuff, which initially felt good for the business, but then in real time, I don't know that it was super healthy. certainly for the marriage, maybe not for the business. Natalie, what is your thoughts on how did that feel for you? That's kind of as the owner's perspective, but I'm dying to get the wife's or the spouse's perspective. And hello, Karen. Good to see you, sister.
Hey, Karen. Yeah, I definitely feel like it was a spigot that couldn't be turned off. You know, obviously when we're starting multiple businesses through the years, I think in like the first 5 years, we'd like started like two businesses and sold two. And, you know, it was a lot. And certainly coming from my background, which was not an entrepreneur, shocker, it was a huge paradigm shift for me. So not only were we newly married, but we were also now entrepreneurs, and I had to take on a lot of new roles and responsibilities and learn. So, you know, for the non-crazy people, that kind of like overwhelm of constant business and constant work was definitely a lot to take over. And I think we've worked very, very hard at kind of like creating little boundaries around that to make it less overwhelming for me and ultimately better for you.
Yeah. And I want to just be totally transparent. We've in the last 3 months, maybe transitioned Natalie out. So she is, obviously she still helps out and stuff like that. We're going to do our event. And you got to get closer, baby. Thank you. We're going to do our event in, for a Millionaire Mastermind Next Level. She's gonna be there for that. So she kind of does the things that I'd like to think you like, right? It's not, I don't say it's not work, but it's more of a support role where there's no direct deliverables that tie to Natalie. Like you have to get X, Y, and Z. It's more like, hey, we're gonna do an event. She comes more as almost as my wife more than like, hey, you have to get things done. Like even at the event, we hired an event planner. Daisy says we miss her. She's coming to the event. Daisy, settle down. Yeah, that's the one thing that we would, that would be a fight, if not a fight, but the people love her. So she stopped, if you stop coming to the events, that would.
I think they would probably fight with me more than you.
Yeah, that, I would be like, oh, you talk to them.
I like them better than you.
Well, that's going to be a problem. So yeah, anyway, all that to say, we have transitioned Natalie out. I just want to give what that felt like from my perspective and then Natalie's perspective for those of you that are working with your spouse, planning on working with your spouse, or trying to transition your spouse out. So first of all, Daisy says she's the nicer of the champions, and it's not even close.
Somebody's got to balance it out or nobody would talk to Mike ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we work together, and again, the good news is when you're first starting, if you're alone, it's just you. You do every single job, and that can be super. I've started lots of businesses. It's still overwhelming and lonely and scary, so a spouse can be a huge support of where they do a lot of work, like Natalie was, because she's especially over 10 years of being married. Oh, we got two angry faces. I don't know who said them or what, but they're pissed. Somebody said something. I'm like, and only one heart. Oh my gosh, we're short on hearts, happy on angry. Now I don't know. And one cryy face. I don't know if that's laughing or just sadness. But so yeah, it can be overwhelming. And having the spouse on, and Ashley and Avery in the house, and we should have you guys on sometime. Maybe we'll do a four-way thing where we, because Ashley and Avery are another couple that I love, and they work together, and they're now all the hearts are like, thank you, Cleaning Nation. You guys are too good to me. That now we're way over on hearts. The angries have all gone away. Everyone's like, okay, settle down. We get too many hearts. I can't talk.
I don't know if you're really encouraging a lot of, you know, confidence in doing the four-way thing when we can't even do the two.
Yeah, that's true. We couldn't figure out the two-way. So the four, we'll have to have NASA in to help us sort that out.
Tired 2 months and everything falls apart.
So the big thing I want to get across is when I started, I needed Natalie kind of for everything, right? A lot for emotional and a lot for just like helping, right? Because there's a lot of things you feel like I can't, just little stupid day-to-day tasks, especially when you're small, like I can't possibly sub these out to anyone. Which I think that was helpful for me, and I'll give Natalie her perspective, but I'm going to give each stage where it was probably good for her to be there. We could talk about it, whatever. But that the problem was we stayed at that party too long, right? Eventually, I didn't need Ashley Davies said, we can figure it out. All right, I'm turning that on to Lindsay. Lindsay, if you can make happen, if the people want it, if Cleaning Nation wants it, put in the chat if you like it. If Cleaning Nation wants it, and maybe we'll do a live from the Next Level event because I know they're coming. Maybe we'll do a live where all four of us are together so we don't even need the technology. We can all four just be scrunched together on one little couch. I'll shower that day, I promise. I am so excited to meet these guys. Anyway, we'll talk later, but I'm so excited to meet you, Ashley and Avery. So anyway, the first stage where we're just starting, the spouse is on board, kind of doing a lot of work, being an emotional support, having done that lots of times, that part I think is okay. It's super stressful, but I really appreciate it. I think Natalie was stressed, and I'll let her give her piece, but I think she was stressed, but also okay with it. The problem came is one of two things will happen. one, you start growing, you have enough money to get everything done, which is great. You can start hiring and all that. Two, you kind of depend on that free labor, which I think where we got to, and that's not healthy, right? Where I'm like, because again, I would have, the thing is, whatever Natalie was doing, either it was going to make profit for the business, in which case I should have been able to pay somebody, or it was not going to make profit, and I didn't really need to pay someone. So I could kind of have Natalie do some work that I thought would be good, and it might have been good, but we don't know, who knows, right? So I was probably a little too easy, like, Nat'll handle it. If I had to pay someone to do it myself, I might have been a little more like, well, hold on, maybe we could, do we need to do 17 things at once? And I might have done less. So because I have an amazing wife, she tolerated that nonsense, but I don't think most wives will tolerate that for a little bit. And even my bride at some point, I'm sure, would have had enough. So that was stage two, which I would recommend avoiding, or leading better than I did, right? Making sure that I was giving her tasks that A, made sense, B, was within her wheelhouse, and just handling it different. The third stage, and this is where definitely I screwed up, is all right. Everyone's saying they want the Lynn's on there. Okay, people love that. So Ashley and Avery, if you do it, we'll sort it out to get at the next level event. We'll do a working with your spouse with Ashley and Avery, and then Natalie and I can interview them, and that'll be fun. All right. So the first stage was we're just starting, use Natalie for everything. I was kind of okay with that. The second stage was probably having her do too much stuff because we're still new and we're still, you know, tight on a budget. But because she was free, and I'm doing the huge air quotes because your spouse is probably the most expensive labor you can hire, if at least from an emotional standpoint, I had her do probably too much. And I wasn't super specific on what I had her do. The third stage was really where it just became emotional, where we had all the money, I should sell the money in the world, but plenty of money to hire everybody. It was just I can treat Natalie like a 24/7 slave, and I'm overstating a little bit, but I said a little bit. Anyway, I could expect things of her that another employee wouldn't do, and she won't quit, right? Like she kind of, for better or worse, we're stuck together, right? So I had to give, that was probably the worst stage where we should have definitely skipped that piece. And then the fourth piece, when we finally got her out, was the mistake we made was trying to get it done in 2 or 3 weeks. And she had, the problem is she didn't have a real job description. She had 20 job descriptions that all took 2 seconds a month up to 4 or 5 hours a month. And we were trying to just figure out one person to do it. But really there was like 2 or 3 people. And I'm constantly teaching this anyway, right? Don't hire one office manager who just does everything, because when they quit, it sucks. And that's what Natalie had become, is kind of our, like, whatever holes need to be filled in, she does. Everyone loves Natalie, by the way, on the chat, for those of you guys who are missing it. Natalie is a fan favorite. The problem is we tried to just hire one person or small amount. Like, we hired Lindsay, who took a lot off of Natalie's plate, but then that just brought her down to like kind of this part-time thing where she's still doing a bunch of little things. And we tried to do it in 2 or 3 weeks. Had we done it in 2 or 3 months, I think we could have done it. But we tried to do it for 2 or 3 weeks for like 6 months, and it just took a long time. So those were kind of the phases as I saw it, as I felt. And only the first one, I think, was good for the business. Phases 2, 3, and 4 weren't good for Natalie, weren't good for me, weren't good for the business. It was just really me being lazy. All right, that's my 2 cents. I'm dying to hear your thoughts.
I think what happened was the businesses that we started had multiple moving parts, and the parts that you needed to focus on, which were the most crucial, kind of took up the majority of your time, focus, and energy. And so that kind of left me to do multiple little random jobs that we thought one person could do, but it really isn't typical that somebody can do multiple things, you know, like programming and organizing and bookkeeping and all these other little like things that are fine if you hire them out to like 10 different people, but with one person, expecting them to do them at a high level is foolhardy.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like a bonus owner that's not really an owner. So as owners, we're the one that's like, if there's not someone to do it, all the little pieces, we have to do it. So we end up doing 100 jobs at once, and we just assume our spouses are A, good at that, probably not, or they'd be their own business owner, and B, interested, probably not, or they'd be their own business owner. So we kind of get this person that has got the willingness of an owner, right? Because employees are kind of like, hey, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to go home, I'll help out if I can, but I'm not going to do accounting if I'm a cleaner, or, you know what I'm saying? But our spouse is that magic employee that we can do that, but they're not the right person. Does that feel kind of how you felt, or...?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was just not my wheelhouse, but I felt obligated and pushed, not by you, but just by reality, to take on all of those jobs and never really say, hey, I don't think I'm the best person for this. especially when, you know, you're working super hard and we're both kind of in the same boat together. And then for me to say, I don't really feel like doing this, is there's that emotional, like, I can't do that. And so instead of being real and honest with you and saying, I don't think I'm the best person for this, and I think I'm doing more harm than good, I just try to push it, and things kind of, you know, can fall apart, which then creates conflict.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is our owners, this isn't a guy girl thing. It's the only thing I don't like is it's some kinds of feel like, oh, Mike's the male role and Natalie's a female role. It's not that. Mike's the owner. Natalie's the person that doesn't really want to be an owner, but is very supportive of the owner. So it can be the male female piece doesn't matter. It's really just who the owner is. And obviously, from a legal standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, Natalie and I are both owners. But from a kind of responsibility standpoint, there can only be one at the end of the day. Natalie's like, I'll support the crap out of you. I love you. I want this to go great. I know that, you know, she obviously gets the benefit financially from it. But at the end of the day, it's my responsibility. The problem is we kind of as owners think everyone else is like us, certainly our spouses. So we just pretend like they're another owner. And again, I'm not talking, obviously everything I have is Natalie's and vice versa. But from a responsibility standpoint, I treated her like she could or should be as responsible as I am. And because she's so sweet, oftentimes our spouses will do that, which can be okay for a little while, but then it can really blow up. So I think, as always, this is the bad news, owners, it comes down to leadership, right? So if you have a spouse that's not as supportive as Natalie, which I could not even imagine, that's a really tough one, right? You're going to have to let them set boundaries and respect those boundaries. And those boundaries could even be, not only am I not working, don't be crazy because I've got my own job or whatever, but here's the times we can talk about this business and here's the times we can't, right? Honestly, there's a benefit to having spouses that aren't as supportive as Natalie. They'll usually be a little more honest with their feelings and their needs and tell you what they need, and those need to be respected. And as a leader, we need to really step up and grow and be like, okay, this is what my team needs. And obviously, your spouse is your number one team member, and you're their number one team member. So that's kind of and I think that'll be more conflict, right? When the spouse is a little more like, better at setting boundaries, there might be conflict more early on. But it's easier for you to kind of hopefully respect those as long as you are a leader and lead and don't resent them or try and get angry. When you've got someone amazing like Natalie, and I talk to you guys because a lot of you guys have such amazing spouses, a lot of times, just like she said, she's like, it wasn't that, well, on top of me kind of expecting either communicated or not communicated her to do all this stuff, she just felt pressured by the world and the business. And as the owner, that's my job to protect her from that. And we didn't really do that. So I think the big thing is, A, identify if your spouse wants to be out of the business, which they have the right, right? If Natalie's like, I don't care about the people, I don't care about this thing, I don't want to be on camera, I don't want to do anything, it'd make me sad because I love being able to share that with her, but she certainly has that right. Two, in the business, but they want to have boundaries, which is where Natalie and I are at, which she does stuff like this, that people love her, she loves you guys, but there's a lot of things that she's like, I will do because I love you and I love the business, but I don't want to, and I should have listened that much earlier. And again, I don't think this has harmed our marriage by any, but if anything, it's harmed our business, and it certainly hasn't been helpful to the marriage. Her getting out has been really nice for both of us, I think. So one, they want to be out altogether. You got to kind of set a boundary, agree. Two, they're going to be in, but they get to set boundaries. The one we need to stay out of is just like, or three, I guess, if they're a true co-owner. So say Natalie was an entrepreneur and that was what she wanted to do with her life, and she was going to go start her own business, and we decided to do something together. I couldn't coach you on that because I've never done it, but that would just be a different thing. But I think most spouses aren't entrepreneurs. And if I was going to coach, not from a lot of experience, I'd go have them start their own business if they're both entrepreneurs, right? But if there's one that's an entrepreneur, one that's a supporter, we got to have boundaries around each, right? So the entrepreneur doesn't just be like, hey, I'm the last say around here. And we talk about the business all the time, every day, all day. And the supporter is like, hey, here's what I want to support. Here's what you can't expect from me. But equally importantly, here's what I don't want to do, and here's what you can't expect. What do you think, baby?
I agree. I think having clear, delineated rules and expectations of each other is very helpful. I think oftentimes when I've talked to people who are having conflict within their marriages because of working together, it's there's a struggle between, like, you know, they may have different jobs, but they are unclear on who has the final say. So they both feel like they're equals in the business. Even if one person is like the official entrepreneur and the other person is the supporter, but it would be like you handing a project off to me and saying, I just need you to handle this project. And then when I give you kind of, you know, everything that I've done, you're like, no, this is all wrong. Change it. There was no clear project, you know, there was no clear, like, I have the final say in it, this is why, and then there could be conflict there. So really having, like, super clear, this is my expectation of you, this is what I will give you purview over, but then ultimately I'm going to give that final say is very helpful.
Yeah, and no one likes the game. No one wins at the game of, hey, Natalie, here's a project. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do. Read my mind. And then when you don't do it the way I wanted you to do it, then I'll tell you what I want. It's like, why don't you just tell me what you want in the first place?
That worked really, really well for us.
All right. So I'm going to – I feel like I've been doing most of the talking. We're almost done. I'm going to let Natalie finish. If you could just give the number one thing, if you're the owner – so this is from the supporter side to the owner, right? Not the female to the male, but whoever, the entrepreneur that's starting this thing – if you as a supporter could tell the entrepreneurs two things. One, here's the number one thing to do to make your life easy and make you go, I want to support you, owner, entrepreneur. Here's what you can do to help me do that. And then two, here's the number one thing you can do to kick me in the nuts and make me not want to support. So kind of give the number one thing they could do to make you, to make kind of the supporters want to support, and the number one kind of off limits thing for you that you found really got in the way.
I think the number one thing is prioritizing. I think it's very easy to put your business ahead of everything else. But if you build a multi-million dollar business and you've got all of these things spinning and you've worked very, very hard to get to it, but you've burned every single emotional and relational tie to your wife or your husband or your spouse or your kids, and they leave, then what's it all for?
And the one thing I'll put on that before we go, the flip side from the entrepreneur side, not just because for me, I would go, what do you mean you're always my priority? And she always was. But if I know that and it's a secret, that doesn't count. So priority needs to be, not only I've had this conversation before, where I don't get a vote if I'm a good spouse, only she does. So if I think I'm a great spouse, she thinks I'm a terrible spouse. Guess what? I'm a terrible spouse. The reverse is true. She thinks she's the best wife in the world and I'm unhappy. Maybe she's not such a great wife. So entrepreneurs out there, when Natalie says prioritize, you don't get to be the decider of if they're prioritized or if they feel prioritized, because really that's what matters. They are. So you can't just say, well, I prioritize you, even though you don't feel like it. They got to feel prioritized. Fair?
Fair.
All right. What's the one thing, if you can say, don't do this, entrepreneur, this is the best way to alienate your supporter?
Focus on their faults. Ooh. If you are constantly picking and nitpicking at their shortcomings, eventually they're just going to say, well, screw it. I give up. I can't do that. So if you really want to focus on something that's going to help them, focus on their wins and their strengths and encouragement. And then, you know, if you want to say, hey, look, you are amazing and fantastic at all of these things, and I really appreciate it. You're falling short here. And instead of chastising them, say, how can I help you rise to this level? I think that would be far more productive and encouraging to your spouse and have them more, you know, apt to want to help you and come to you for help.
And again, from the entrepreneur side, I like this, where kind of we give it from the supporter side, then we give it from the entrepreneur side. From my perspective, that really works for everybody, right? So that's a human being thing. Like, hey, anybody on your team, whether you happen to be my number one team member, i.e. my spouse, or anyone else down the line, that feeling of support and focusing on what they're doing well is huge. So I guess my coaching would be off of that. The final thing, and we'll call it, is sometimes for me, I'm pretty good, I think, and my team can jump in on the chat. My team, I think, feels loved and supported. I'm pretty good at focusing on their strengths and not picking too bad at what's going on. But with our spouse, we're like, oh, I don't have to treat them like that, which is insane. I love, no offense to you guys, Clean Nation, I love you guys, but never more than Natalie. She's my number one priority. So if I'm constantly making the team feel good, now it doesn't feel that way, or your spouse doesn't feel, that's a problem. So I think, like, not consciously, but maybe subconsciously, we feel like we can, even though we have, again, because Natalie won't quit, right? Our team members can leave. So we're like, oh, I have to be nice to them. They can quit. Where our spouse, we kind of take for granted, like, oh, they'll never leave. So we don't give them, but they need, they're humans. They need it just as much as, if your team needs it, your spouse needs it, double or quadruple. All right, guys, gals, I love this. We'll definitely have this conversation again at the Live, which is happening, I think, the first week of August, only for Next Level and Millionaire Mastermind. We can't have a big open event like I'd like to because of the whole COVID thing. But for all you Millionaire Mastermind Next Level folks, Natalie, I can't wait to see you. If you are like, yes, I, and a lot of the problems, by the way, is when you're not making money and you're working too hard, it's very hard to work with your spouse because she's going to hate your business no matter what. If you were in that spot, you're like, I just need to make more money. I need to grow. My spouse would be happy if I worked less and made more. That's what we do all day, every day. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com, get all the resources that you have. I think Lou, if you need help right now, we're going to end in about 30 seconds. Put in the chat, hey, help me, and I'll have one of the coaches reach out. But you can go to growmycleaningcompany.com, get all the resources that we have. There's a free on-demand training. And if you dig the show, it really helps if you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, refer us to your friends, and let us know that we can help, and we're here for you. So growmycleaningcompany.com, jump in on the chat if you need something. We are here to help. Love you guys. Can't wait to serve you. And again, the best way to work with your spouse, I think, is to work less, make more, have systems and processes so you're in charge of your business. That we would absolutely love to help you with. Talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.